This is the Wonder Life Podcast, the voice for health and wellness. I'm your host, Andrea Ritter. Thank you for joining.
This week on the podcast, we are joined by Megan Anderson, a nurse practitioner who works with a functional medicine doctor and who is passionate about helping people heal their thyroid. In this episode, you'll learn all about what leads to autoimmune conditions and how to prevent some of the decline we see in our 30s and 40s, particularly with the thyroid. Enjoy this episode with Megan Anderson.
So, Megan, when were you diagnosed with Hashimoto's?
Well, it's funny. I officially diagnosed myself because I work here. We do very, very comprehensive lab work here. And at the time that I was in school, working full time and, you know, went back to school to study functional medicine, I was chatting with Ella, who is a registered nurse and also our nutritionist here. And she was saying to me that I really should come in and do the adult health screening that we offer in this office. And this was before I was an employee. And so I did. And just to get out, I wasn't really dealing with that many symptoms at the time, but I have a very strong family history of hypothyroidism. I can't even say Hashimoto's because most of my family members have never been checked. But I wasn't really dealing with anything, and I had had just regular thyroid labs, quote unquote, done, you know, at my annual exams and things like that. But when I did our adult health screening was when I discovered that I actually had thyroid antibodies.
So there's so much to talk about as far as this whole thing goes. So when we talk about like traditional allopathic medicine, is that where you got your original labs from?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, are those labs different than did you get the SpectraCell labs?
No, done? I mean, I just had regular labs done through LabCorp or Quest, wherever, you know, whatever kind of conventional lab was being offered through the women's clinic, actually, was where I did last time.
So did you see the antibodies? So you didn't see the antibodies there?
They didn't check for them because typically in conventional medicine, all that's checked is either a TSH, sometimes a free T4, a thyroid hormone will be on there as well. In every case that I can think of, you know, over the last 10 to 15 years that I've had labs done in general, all that's been checked is a TSH and a free T4. And those always came back perfectly fine. So there was never a reason.
Which is like, that can happen to so many people. And
absolutely,
we could get into this whole thing of why they don't check the antibodies, but the reality is they just don't, not all the time. So sometimes people run those, sometimes they don't.
I would say almost never. They're never just run as a baseline screen. And I mean, unless you go to an endocrinologist and you already have a known history of hypothyroidism, or you know, potentially someone who's really progressive and you really have quite a few symptoms that line up, they may check. But usually I'd say it's only at the patient's request. It's not standard.
So you work for an MD who is now doing functional medicine.
Correct.
And then you have started down this road yourself. So, so you found that you had the antibodies.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess before we even dig into that whole piece, can you explain what Hashimoto's is?
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like I need to hear it 1,000 times. Mm-hmm. Like someone told me last week and I was like, aha. And then for me to regurgitate that, like I just
couldn't.
No, I still can't.
Yeah. So there's three different divisions. There's hypothyroidism, there's hyperthyroidism, and then there's either Hashimoto's or Graves.
Okay.
Hashimoto's and Graves are basically two different sides of the same coin, but they both have to do with the thyroid. But one is where there's overproduction of thyroid hormone, and one is where there's underproduction of thyroid hormone. In both cases, though, the underlying problem, even with isn't the thyroid, it's the immune system.
Okay.
So Hashimoto's is very often the underlying immune system dysregulation that leads to hypothyroidism.
Well, damn.
So they're
that's amazing.
Yeah.
I like, and here again, it's like that just flipped the script. So it's not your thyroid.
Not really.
It's your immune system is
first
having an issue. And that breaks down.
It attacks your thyroid.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
And so are the antibodies what is actually doing the attacking?
Yes. Okay. It was, yeah. That's the sign that there's attacking being done. Well, so like when I did that health screening, I had thyroid antibodies that showed up. There's two different kinds. It's called anti-TPO and anti-TG. There's two different thyroid antibodies that can be off. And I had both of them. But if you looked then at my thyroid function, it was still totally fine.
So usually
the antibodies precede the abnormality with the thyroid gland itself by, I mean, anywhere from 10 to 20 years, depending on who you talk to and what research you're reading. So the goal being, well, gosh, if we can find this early and we can do all the things to fix the immune system and, you know, bring down the destruction against the thyroid gland, well, then maybe we can save the thyroid gland. Like, maybe I will never have to go on thyroid medication. That okay. would be the goal. Does that
so,
make sense?
Yeah. Okay. So when you got your labs back mm-hmm. and you had the antibody, is that a number that says if you're, whatever your number is, like, yeah. oh, that's actually not affecting your thyroid now? Or like with me, mine was so high. I'm affirming that it's no longer. So I'm just going to know that. I'm just going to know myself to wellness. Right. So mine was so high that it's like, oh, well, that's so obvious that like, that's clearly attacking the thyroid.
Definitely. So there is a range, and it depends on the research that you're reading. And I listen to a gazillion functional medicine podcasts and follow a lot of other practitioners. But one of the most recent studies that I've seen is that if your thyroid antibodies are in the range of like, some say under 300, some say under 500, then you're probably still in pretty good shape and you don't have to worry about imminent progression to hypothyroidism.
So when
I above that 500 is a real red flag. Like, we need to act now.
So when I look at my labs mm-hmm. that were conventional, like, thank God someone, I think it was my friend's dad, who's a doctor, who ran some labs on me. Mm-hmm. When I look at that range, it says 1 to 4 or whatever that range is. Is that like 100 to 400?
Probably so. Different labs use different ranges.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because when I get mine back, I was like, 1 to 4 is the range, and mine's at God knows how many thousand. Like, I thought I was like near death. So it like really freaked me out. But sure. Here again, you're educating me on what, as a human who's not in the medical field, like yeah. you have no idea. And even though you have great practitioners, you still got to do your work, you know?
Definitely. And I think it's really important. I mean, those numbers can make people really fearful.
I seriously, yeah. when Grace and I did a video call and she was like, oh my God, how are you even functioning? I seriously got the fear of death in me. And I apologize for people who are going to listen to a couple of thyroid podcasts and hear, you know, the same story, but like, it really freaked me out. She wasn't trying to freak me out. She's just giving me information. But I was like, what does this even mean? Like, mm-hmm. am I dying?
Right. Right. And in that case, no, not at all.
Yet.
No, but that's one of the, it doesn't do anyone any good if they're trying to like, if they're starting their course down their health journey. I just don't think it does them any good to freak them out. I think it's really helpful to kind of lay out, okay, here's what we're dealing with. This is what's going on. And now let's figure out, like, this is not in order to instill fear, but like, let's figure out some actionable steps that we can take to start to work on this.
Yeah. Well, and knowledge is power.
Yeah.
And so you have to be your own advocate. You have to ask questions.
For sure.
Because you don't know. Why
do you have to understand? You have to also ask questions as many times as you need to fully understand.
Right. Like, I am like asking everyone, wait, what is this again? Mm-hmm. So why do you think this is happening with so many people? It feels like to me, or it seems like to me, that so many people are having autoimmune stuff. Mm-hmm. Is autoimmune just like this category that we're now throwing a bunch of stuff into because we're like, we don't know why these things are happening, but why do you think at least autoimmune thyroid stuff, like why are we having so many issues? It feels like an epidemic.
It does feel like an epidemic, and it depends on who you talk to, you know, in terms of figuring out why the rate of autoimmunity is increasing. I do think that you can kind of put them under one big umbrella, whether it's Hashimoto's, whether it's rheumatoid arthritis, whether it's even diabetes. I mean, it really is all, no matter what it manifests as, it really is immune dysregulation. So if we just go back to that and get rid of the label of the diagnosis. Like, yes, the diagnosis is going to help describe the symptoms that are associated with it, but fixing the root cause really goes back to fixing the immune system.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of hypotheses about all the different potential triggers, but certainly one that's discussed so much of the time is this heavy, heavy increase in environmental toxins that we're exposed
to.
And that's coming in the form of contaminated water, contaminated air, more pesticide exposure. So, you know, I've been really following recently the work of Zach Bush, who does a lot of research on glyphosate. And he's really big into talking about regenerative farming and really getting away from glyphosate. But I was listening to an interview with him recently where he was talking about, you know, essentially, if I'm going to get my dates maybe not perfectly right, but in the 1980s was when glyphosate started being used on farms for farming. And
it's, what is it?
It's an herbicide. It's basically an herbicide that's found in Roundup.
Okay.
Which Roundup is sprayed almost everywhere. I mean, so this is why I like think it's so, so, so important to buy organic as much as possible.
Yes.
Even knowing that there's still probably going to be a percentage of contamination still. Studies have shown that the amount of pesticides that show up in humans' urine dramatically decreases when someone starts eating organic, even after 5 or 6 days.
Isn't that amazing?
Really, it really either plummets or just gets exceedingly high based on how you're eating and how much exposure you're getting. So, you know, there's no way that we can avoid glyphosate in our country. Like, you just can't. Even if you're buying organic, if you have a dog that's going and running around on the park grass, or your kids are playing at the park in the grass, or you know, do get your yard sprayed for weeds, or, I mean, it's airborne as well. So we're getting it, you know, let's say like I have a garden, I don't spray my garden, but what Dr. Bush was saying was that it does get into the soil and then it's absorbed into the air. And so it gets into the rainwater. So if it's ever raining on your garden, you're getting a little bit of exposure that way as well.
There's a gentleman, Tom Butler, who I've recently connected with, and he's trained as a Chinese medicine doctor. I actually was supposed to do a podcast with him today and we had to reschedule, but I'm excited because our whole thing's going to be about the glyphosates. Never even heard of it until I talked to him and I was like, what? He was talking to me about how the glyphosates are such a big piece of why our gut is out of balance, because it eats through, right?
It leaves a leaky gut.
Crazy?
It is crazy, but that goes back to your question about, so if you think of, it's been pretty well established that in order to develop an autoimmune condition, you have to have this triad the triad is a pre condition, like a genetic predisposition. So like, let's say my mom, my aunt, my grandma, my sister, all of them have hypothyroidism. So I have a genetic predisposition to hypothyroidism.
And is hypo fast or slow?
Slow.
Slow. Okay.
So let's say you have a genetic predisposition, then you have some sort of triggering event and leaky gut. That is considered the triad that has to be present for that autoimmunity switch to get turned on. And that's why it can really manifest in different ways depending on what your genetic predisposition is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why for some people it's RA, for some people it's Sjogren's, you know, diabetes, whatever.
Yeah.
So leaky gut, if we go back to that, and glyphosate really being found everywhere, and it's, you know, so pervasive, and then that contributing to leaky gut, it's like you're just helping to flip that switch on in everyone from healthy to slightly unhealthy with that as far as immune regulation goes.
Yeah.
That's how I think about it. So glyphosate is a huge trigger. Also, I mean, we're just exposed to so many, like, these are the things that we always talk about with our patients in terms of controlling the things that they can control, which are eating clean. Like, I think about clean air, clean food, and clean water.
Yes.
So the food piece is obviously doing what you can to, you know, source your food locally, buy organic, that kind of thing. Clean water. I mean, there's a lot of junk in the water, even here in Port Collins.
Sucks.
One of the things that I did last year, I mean, and this is recommended for all people with thyroid conditions, really, is to make sure that you're removing fluoride from your water, from your drinking water, and from your toothpaste.
I definitely don't have it in my toothpaste.
Okay.
And I think I took a picture or wrote down one of the water filters you guys have. What's it called?
AquaGear.
Yeah.
So there's several, but AquaGear is super handy for, like, I have on here, you can buy a personal water filter
for
your water bottle so that everywhere you go, you know, it has a charcoal filter in it.
I love that.
And then, I mean, there are lots of home systems that you can get as well, but I can't help but think that that was part of my antibodies decreasing. It's just, I just became really, really diligent about removing fluoride. Also I got like a filter on my shower.
I need one too.
So they're all just like these small changes. And then personal skincare products. People do not realize how what they're putting on their skin.
Yes.
Makes a significant difference in their overall health and their overall what they're being exposed to.
Because the skin is your largest microbiome.
Yeah, it totally is. And you're absorbing what's put on your skin.
And
so,
what is around you in your environment.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, what was really remarkable to me is both Ella and I in September, she and I both, we went to a conference and there was a lab there called Great Plains Lab. And they offer it's not a heavy metal test. It's a non-heavy metal environmental toxin test.
Oh.
And so it's all done through the urine, super easy to do. And it tests for all these different kinds of things, styrenes and MTBE found in gasoline and organophosphates and glyphosate. And my levels were really high. And this is me who's very knowledgeable about like my exposure and trying to make healthy choices. And yet my levels were still they were alarmingly high.
Which would make sense.
I think it was all also affecting my, it definitely is all affecting my immune system. So, you know, there are things I can't control. If I go out to eat and I get a salad, I can't ensure that it's organic.
Right.
Think it's super important that I try to control the things I can. And make the best choices I can about the things
right.
I can.
Right, because it's really easy to get like psycho and like, God, what's
right.
going on?
And like, you can't live in a bubble.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's helpful to stress about it. I just think it's helpful to take as many steps as you can in the right direction to increase. But I do think that between glyphosate, as maybe you could even call that, I mean, an environmental exposure, I think the amount of toxins that we're exposed to, we just can't handle it.
Yeah.
Across the board.
So what do you think, as we wrap up, like what did you do to change your situation? And, you know, every body is different. And if there's any other tips and tricks that you haven't tried or you know, that you could give to people, because we want to end on the note that you can heal your body.
Agreed. Totally. Going back to when I first found out, so I was already gluten-free at the time.
Okay.
But if I hadn't been, 100% would have taken gluten out.
Yeah.
That's imperative for thyroid issues in particular. We also, so if we're talking, and I think in general, people, we always, like Grace uses the acronym called FLIGHT. Stands for food, lifestyle, infections, gut, toxins, and hormones. I go back to that on every single patient that I see, because there's always room for improvement. So if we focus first on food and trying to remove as many inflammatory foods as we can. So typically those are gluten, dairy, sugar, and soy. Again, it doesn't have to be 100% perfect, but the best we can. Then I think lifestyle piece, you got to get moving. So if you're not exercising, sweating is one of the ways that we get toxins out. So we have to make sure that we're sweating on a regular basis. So I started doing more hot yoga. You know, we got a sauna here. I'm trying to do it. Not perfect.
I didn't know you had a sauna. Mm-hmm. I need to get involved with that.
Yeah. Even looking back, even though I didn't consider myself very symptomatic, I've struggled with gut issues for, I don't know, probably close to 8 to 10 years, kind of off and on.
But you don't know.
You
have no idea.
Yeah, and it was never severe.
Right.
I never went to the doctor. I never went to get it assessed.
Yeah.
I started really looking at my gut health, figured out that I had SIBO and I had a little bit of yeast overgrowth. And so I worked really hard last year on treating my gut a couple different times. I think you have to I think it's really helpful to do a stool test and figure out what's going on.
In the stool test, you can't see the SIBO, but can you see the candida, yeast?
Yes. You can see yeast, parasites, bacterial overgrowth, how much good bacteria is there, how you're digesting your food. So it's quite helpful. It gives a lot of information. SIBO, testing for SIBO is a breath test, so that's different.
Yes, I have yet to take it. I still have it. And I'm like, let me just see what the poops.
Yeah. I mean, they're not one and the same, but they certainly, you know, they give different information based on where you're looking at in the digestive system.
And Grace says 80% of people have SIBO.
Totally. I mean, it is so, so common.
Yeah.
So, you know, I treated my gut. I removed fluoride. I had one silver filling left.
Yeah.
I had that removed. And I really tried to start managing my stress better. I am an overcommitter, and I say yes to a lot. And I have like a very strong Catholic guilt.
Yeah.
upbringing. And so I just really had to figure out a way to get a better work-life balance.
Yeah.
And spend more time socially, just devote more, as much time socially as I did to, like, you know, I had been in school, I had been working full time. I actually had, like, at one point I had four different jobs. I was teaching a class. I'm trying to be a decent wife and a good mom. And I had to shut some of those things down.
Yeah. That, like, that's such a huge piece. I mean, it all works together. And
yeah.
I did hear Grace say last year, you know, you could be doing everything right and you're stressed out. The stress will kill you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And
I mean,
it's the hardest thing for people to change.
Yeah, it is. And to go, I've got to take care of me first. Mm-hmm. And it's so enlightening. But what's so great is your antibodies went down.
Mm-hmm.
So you tested, your antibodies were high. It wasn't attacking your thyroid. You just retested and
my thyroid looks good and my antibodies, they're not completely in remission, but they were cut in half. So I was happy.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you achieved that through this last year or two of really paying attention, getting your gut in order and
definitely.
Really
prioritizing my sleep. As
well. Oh my God. Yes. I love sleep.
Yeah, I do too. But it's like, you know, when I was in school and working full time and it's like, you've got to get up early so that I can do stuff before I'm the first one up in my house and I'm still usually the last one to bed.
Yeah.
But I always, for the most part, I can say with confidence, I get at least 7 hours, but I try for eight.
Yeah. The mother like has to have her moment.
Yeah.
I do that too.
I mean, I have to have my quiet time in the morning.
Me too.
Yeah.
My kids got up 30 minutes earlier than they usually do. And my son's an early riser. And I was like, I was about 30 minutes into my own morning. So I did get to meditate and I wanted to read. And it was so nice. They came and got in bed with me and it was the dog and the cat and the two kids. And they were so great. And I'm like, I really want to read this book. And you know, they just don't allow for that. So,
know.
You know, like, okay.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah. So your me time is huge.
Oh, it is huge. It's so restorative. And, it sets the whole tone for my day if I don't get it. So it's worth it to get up earlier to make sure that happens.
Yeah. I really appreciate you and your time. And I'm excited for your journey. It, not that I don't have hope, but it makes me see that, you know, I am on the right track with what I'm doing and healing my body and, you know, all these other people who are going through this, it is possible to heal. And just getting in line with some of the things you talked about, are great. So if people want to come and see you because you clearly know your stuff and you've gone through it, where can they find you?
Well, our website is balancewellbeinghealthcare.com. And, there's information about all the clinicians here and what we do and kind of our approach. People can either start with our adult health screening, which is just very comprehensive blood work that I talked about at the beginning. That's what I did. Or if they're already quite symptomatic, sometimes it's good to just dive in and do the full functional medicine package, which includes 6 hours of FaceTime and typically it includes some of that gut testing and comprehensive blood work, looking for nutrient deficiencies, sometimes looking for environmental, like heavy metals and other toxins, just a really deep dive to figure out what's going on under the hood. I really encourage everyone to just look, even if you feel like, you know, I feel pretty good, but you always wonder if you could feel better.
Right.
We should take care of our bodies the same way we take care of our homes or our cars.
Yeah.
And that requires just like a general maintenance check-in at least
totally.
Once a year. And I think a lot of people ignore that until they start having symptoms.
Yeah.
And it's so much easier to fix if you're on the front end of
that. And sometimes you just don't know what good feels like.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I see that all the time, especially for women in their 30s and 40s, you know, if parenthood is part of your journey, you like that is the beginning of when you start putting everyone else before yourself.
Yes.
And you just are in survival mode for like a decade.
Yeah.
And it's not until the kids get a little bit older or you just feel like, okay, now it's time to like focus on me. But by then you're already feeling like garbage.
I know. And that is why we're doing what we're doing. Cause I'm like, I want these mothers of young children, regardless of how old the mothers are, to get their guts in order now, because had I had this information when my kids were little, even though it would have been more challenging for me just to flip the script on my mindset, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be 43 going, holy S, yeah. like what's happening mm-hmm. and needing to reset. Yeah. I'm thankful for this journey because it's leading me to where I need to go. Mm-hmm. Had I had this information a long time ago, even if I incorporated bone broth and figured out the water thing.
Yeah.
And a good probiotic.
Exactly.
You know?
There's a lot of easy things that you can do that make a like have a big bang for your buck.
Yeah.
If you start doing those things before you feel bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Megan, we will continue this conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you so
I'm
much for
really
helping.
Enlightened.
Good.
Once again.
Hope it's helpful.
It is.
Thank you for joining us for this week's podcast. Please light us up on social at Wonder Health, and that is Wonder with a U. For more information on the topics we discussed, go to wonderhealth.com. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen, and please share with your friends. Go out and shine your light and transform this world.